You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the A to Z Sports Big Orange Podcast. I'm Charlie Burris. That is Zach Reagan. Wherever you listen throughout the world, we thank you so much for listening to us. Zach and I talk everything balls every week here on the Big Orange Podcast. If that's something you want to listen to on the reg, go over to the A to Z Sports Podcast Network feed, and when you get there, rate, review, but most importantly, hit that subscribe button, because if you do, you won't miss our shows when we drop them on Mondays. But speaking of Mondays, it's not one right now, because yesterday was my wedding anniversary, and I had to attend to that, obviously. But it is, normally, Mondays at 7 p.m., and if you go to YouTube and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, you'll be notified when we go live on the A to Z Sports National YouTube channel, and you can come hang out with us and be a part of the show. Comment. We love going back and forth with everybody. It's the absolute best. You guys keep this show running. And so go over there, hit that subscribe button on YouTube, at Charlie underscore Burris, at Zach TNT, at A to Z Sports, Facebook.com/A to Z Sports, and A to Z Sports.com for everything that Zach writes. Fun weekend of sports. Well, I guess it really wasn't all that much sports. A fun weekend for Tennessee sports, specifically baseball and softball. Softball pulling off a series win against LSU. A very nice ranked win there for them. And then the boys on the baseball diamond walk into Lexington, Kentucky. And it's, I mean, this is commonplace at this point, winning in Kentucky for the football team, for the basketball team, for the baseball team. Yeah, you know, hey, it doesn't matter who it is. We're going to win in Lexington. It was a fun weekend. What's up, Zach?
Yeah, it was definitely a good weekend for Tennessee baseball, even dropping a game there to come out of there with that series win. Massive, especially kind of getting later in the season. Kentucky's a top five team. Tennessee a top five team. You kind of showed something there. So hopefully it's going to be another fun May, June for the baseball team. Get back to Omaha. Anything can happen. That'd be a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of like summery type fun. Seeing this, you know, Tennessee baseball do something. Everybody gets excited. It's warm outside. Everybody's going on vacations. You got baseball to look forward to. It's a fun time of year.
It really is. We are slipping into the sports lull now that spring ball is over. Of course, it's just where you get baseball. There is hockey playoffs. I am at the moment sporting my boys on the ice, the Nashville Predators, playing against the Canucks in their series tonight. They lost game one and are probably going to lose the series. But, hey, we're having fun. You know, at least They're back in the playoffs and not missing them like they did last year. So, but, of course, we're going to talk about it all. We got to lead off, though, and you know, we all know what that talk has to be. Transfer portal, recruit talk, we're going to discuss it all, and then follow it up with baseball. We'll go a little bit deeper into what's happening with baseball, kind of updates on that, because we haven't really had, I don't think we've had a whole segment on the baseball team yet so far in their season here on the show, and we'll talk about everything else with Tennessee sports right after I tell you about our first great sponsor, and that, of course, is Zen Sports. We've been telling you about them all season long. It's the sports betting app exclusively in Tennessee. And now when you sign up for a Zen Sports account, you'll receive up to a $1,000 no danger first wager. When you place your first bet in Zen Sports, you can be reimbursed for the amount of your bet up to $1,000 maximum if that bet loses. But there's even more good news. Zen Sports is rolling out their VIP rewards program. And with VIP rewards, Top-tier customers can earn more bonuses, comps, and perks, and the VIP program is by invite only. So if you feel that your Zen Sports play qualifies for VIP consideration, go check out the program at zensports.com/VIP. No other sportsbook will offer you a premier sports betting experience with 24/7 top-tier customer support and fast withdrawals like Zen Sports. What are you waiting for? Get going and download their app at zensports.com today. Zen Sports betting just got better. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee to bet. Huge shout out to Zen Sports. We're still repping the boys here. We appreciate it. Okay. So, of course, it is now spring ball is past. We saw everything with that. We discussed it last week on the show, everything that happened. It was a ton of fun. As we all know, Gaston Moore will be the starting quarterback. You heard it here first. it's going to be Nico. Did you watch that video with Nico that they put out last night for the behind the scenes? That was pretty cool.
I actually did watch that. It was fun to kind of see Nico in his element because he's so mild-mannered. It feels like we're still getting to know him, and I'm sure we will quite a bit over this next year or two. It's just a backup quarterback, you know. You don't really talk to the media. You're not featured a lot, even when you're a former five-star recruit. So hopefully he'll come out of his shell a little bit. As long as he's, you know, competing out there on the field and taking care of business, we really don't care kind of how he how quiet or shy or reserved he is. But it would be nice to see some of his personality come out.
I would love it if he was a Johnny Manziel type dog, but I think it's becoming exceedingly clear that he's a little bit more of a Marcus Mariota type dog.
Yeah.
Mariota dominant in college. He was great, won the Heisman Trophy, but he was and still is extremely mild mannered. And I don't know if Nico's gonna be that quiet. Mariota's extremely quiet, but honestly, I don't know which one I like more. I obviously love the Johnny Manziel style because it's the guy that if you're playing him, you absolutely hate him. If you have him on your team, it's the absolute best thing ever. And then with quiet dominance, I mean, that's just great, but you don't get the braggadocious cool stuff.
Pros
and cons to both.
Like a Baker Mayfield, maybe, or even a Spencer Rattler. He had some of that in him as well, as we know all too well. Hendon Hooker, I thought, had a good balance, right? Like, he wasn't out there in the media taking shots at people, but he was pretty confident, and he wasn't afraid to not necessarily talk a little trash, but he didn't get, you know, if somebody kind of threw something at him, he wasn't afraid to give it back a little. He kind of talked about that at times, and you could see it on the field. I mean, obviously some really competitive moments where he came through and just was not going to be denied. Ultimately, if you're like that on the field, do whatever you want off the field.
I mean, I still, one of my favorite Hendon Hooker moments, this will be true forever, the coming off the field from the pass to Brew McCoy at the end of the 22 Bama game. Brew McCoy, they get down to, I don't even know what the yardage was. They set up a 40-ish yard field goal.
Yeah, probably about 32,
and,
I guess.
And if I'm thinking right, UT Films had a clip of him as he was walking off from that completed pass. They hadn't kicked the field goal yet. And he goes like, we got it. We're good. We're good. And he's like saying that as he's walking off. And I was like, I love that. Because he's not walking off like getting in Alabama's face, being like, you loser, here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, take this. But he's just walking off with that confidence. Well, like, we got it.
The biggest thing is the moment was not too big for him. Not to get too far off on this tangent, but just real quick, like, the moment wasn't too big for him. 15 seconds, tied game, complete two passes, you have a chance to win. As opposed to, you know, not trying to bash Joe Milton here, but you look at Joe Milton at the end of that Ole Miss game in 2021. That game, you know, it executes there and makes a couple different decisions in that in those couple of moments there closing. You know, Tennessee had that game there to win. Moment kind of escaped him a little bit, and he was still young and getting used to Tennessee's offense and hadn't played, came into that game after Hooker was injured, but still it's kind of the two scenarios there that you can have in those moments.
You definitely can, and hopefully Nico delivers on all that at his time and more, but that's sort of beside the point from what we were going to talk about. I mean, already Kyle in the comments says, is there any news on the basketball transfer Tyson? We'll get there. We're going to talk about the basketball transfers also, but let's start off with this recruiting, because there wasn't that much. It was just a commit for the football team. Four-star 2025 wide receiver Redarius Jackson commits to Tennessee. A great pickup. Obviously, more proof that Heupel's offensive system, especially to wide receivers, just basically sells itself. Kid out of Tennessee, you now have three of the top six players from the state of Tennessee, at least according to On Three's rankings. You're favored for, I think, an additional two of those guys in that top six at the moment. Another solid pickup. I like this one a lot. What'd you think, Zach?
Yeah, it feels like Jackson is probably a guy that's better, a little better than his recruiting rating indicates. And I know everybody says that about every high three-star, low four-star guy you pick up. He's super athletic, can stretch the field, can pick up yards after the catch, can really do everything that you want a Heupel type receiver to do. You know, he can be on those screen passes and break a tackle, maybe spring it for a big gain, or like I said, stretch the field. I think there's probably a lot that they see in him that they like. I'd say that he's, you know, he's not going to be, I don't know, maybe he will be, but we don't expect him to be in that elite like Mike Matthews, you know, category. So there's probably some other guys out there across the country that are similar to this wide receiver that Tennessee probably could have also, you know, taken a shot at. But the in-state guy, you're always going to go with that guy, especially coming out of Memphis. Those are super important recruiting connections. And those coaches remember, like, hey, they took this guy, our guy, you know, they're not just coming here because we got a five-star guy now. They spend a lot of time here. They like our players. They like who we put out. They're taking chances on them. They're bringing them to Knoxville, you know, being the in-state school, even though it's all the way across the state. I think that's really important aspect of this pickup that shouldn't go overlooked. It just builds goodwill for future recruiting, as well as you get a solid player that could turn out to be a really, really good wide receiver for Tennessee. Certainly has the talent to be, but in the past, there's been so many coaches at Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Dooley, especially, that just didn't pay attention to the in-state kids like they should have, and it burned them down the road. Butch Jones, you know, missed on several of those guys. We know those, you know, T. Higgins, and it's tough, you know, if you don't put in the time and effort when somebody pops up to go all of a sudden banging the door down. It's like, well, you haven't been here this whole time. Why are we going to give you, you know, any extra leeway as opposed to Georgia or Clemson or another program coming in here?
Yeah, Caleb in the comments says, Memphis commit always hits different. They're not easy to get. It's absolutely true because and this was definitely true in this particular case, you're competing with the Mississippi schools, and in this one specifically, Ole Miss and Auburn, I believe. And that's always great. I mean, and even, you know, Memphis, Arkansas, too, is always kind of in the mix there regionally. And so I love that. And hopefully he turns out to be, you know, what that tape looks like. He potentially could be, you know, Kyle says, you want to talk about somebody high pointing the ball. He definitely can. And Kyle also mentioned that he could be good at safety too. So maybe a little, you know, backup insurance there. If the situation gets dire again,
go get athletes and you'll figure out where their best spot is. And they'll produce. Just go get the athletes. That's the way Chip Kelly built Oregon. You know, he wasn't chasing certain, you know, necessarily positions. He was just looking for speed and athletes, and he figured out when they got there, and it worked out pretty well for him out there. Hasn't since, but certainly did out there.
Well, we'll see how that turns out. 2025 commit, so he's a little ways off from being at Tennessee.
Just next fall, 2025. Hey. Yeah, I mean, yeah. 2025 feels like it should still be like 8 years away. It doesn't. It's ridiculous that it's less than you know, 8 months from now.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet something the other day that said 15 years ago in 2009. And I was like, oh, well,
that's tough. Yeah.
Boy. Yeah, that hurts. But it's also true. That is the year that we're living in, unfortunately. But exciting pickup there. But then you also have, of course, the transfer portal. I haven't seen any other movement. Really, you had a guy jump out and then jump back in today.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting thing that happened. And
super interesting because that's you know, Jason Jenkins, who you're referring to, a defensive lineman. he was a depth guy, and it's somebody that's Rodney Gardner spoke really high about this spring. But it's not like, oh, this guy can't play. He's just a depth guy. He could be really, really good. Tennessee's defensive line is just that deep where you – I mean, it's a good thing, obviously. It could be the strength of the team this year, which is wild to say. But I don't know that that's a guy that you're breaking the NIL bank to keep necessarily. And I don't know the ins and outs of what how Jason Jenkins decided to come back, but that is an odd deal. Like maybe he just said, hey, you know, I really do want to be at Tennessee and play with this group of guys. That'd be really cool if that is, you know, the scenario, and hopefully they do take care of him NIL wise or just local companies in Knoxville period take care of him. It doesn't have to be the school. That's certainly an interesting one, but that depth will be important. I mean, they're really, really good along the defensive line, but you just never know, you know, what could transpire during the course of the season.
Yeah, that is interesting. Obviously, you're seeing more and more of that guys testing the waters and seeing what they can get. And
it's really been limited for Tennessee, though, this year as opposed to in the past. And maybe that's because several of the guys, they just kind of cut loose. And it was like, you know, go be free. Go wherever you want to go. We're going to start over. I know I see Kyle mentions there Wesley Walker and Tyler Barron both in the portal again.
Insane.
those are two of the guys there. I mean, Barron's obviously a really good player. You don't want to take away from that, but he's looking to be an edge rusher exclusively and more playing time. And we've seen him do that several off seasons in a row. That wasn't a shock. Wesley Walker's his stepbrother, so that's not a shock either. But where do they go now is kind of interesting. They went to Ole Miss initially. I think they were even there for their bowl game, like on the sidelines down there in late December. And then you go to Louisville. Tyler Barron got hurt in spring practice. He was out, you know, until fall camp as it was. So he missed the majority of Louisville's spring practice. Can they go to an SEC school now that they were at an SEC school last season, but then they've went to an ACC school. If you go in the portal in the spring window, you're not supposed to be able to transfer in conference. They weren't in conference at the time. So you would think that's like a loophole where they could go back to Ole Miss, maybe, or maybe they burned that bridge. I don't know. Or another, you know, SEC program. Who knows?
I mean, is it genuinely like a money-making scheme where they're just, hey, Ole Miss, cut that check.
Well,
all right, I'm there. Wait, I'm leaving. Hey, Louisville, cut that check. All right, I'm here. No, wait, I'm leaving. Like, is it? And they're gonna like go to Minnesota next or something? And just,
I mean,
say,
we've said it so much that it's the Wild West, but it really, really is. There's just no, like, it's completely deregulated. Just do whatever.
What are you gonna do?
And if you make your money, like, what's the recourse? What's the contracts look like? I'm sure at some point we're gonna see a big lawsuit, like one of these collectives or some. Somebody sues a player, and which I don't know, that would kind of be a bad look for them, because then you're kind of signing your own, you know, death certificate there, because you're not, it's going to be hard to thrive after that if you've went after a player that you've paid. I mean, who's going to want to do business with you at that point? So it is a really interesting scenario out there. I don't know if that's what they did or how all that happened, but it's, man, even when you transfer in the get a guy in January, you don't know that he's going to be there in August. And it's a tough way to operate a program. But luckily, Tennessee does not seem to be dealing with a lot of that. He kind of cut ties with a couple of guys that nobody was super sad to see go. Elijah Herring going into the portal linebacker for Tennessee. Wasn't that shocking? Been interesting to see how it's framed nationally. You know, Tennessee's leading tackler from last season, but any Tennessee fans who watched him play knows that, like, he stepped up and played well at times when Keenan Peely was out, but he wasn't good in coverage. He was pretty slow. We saw some mental errors, you know, quite a bit. He played okay in stretches, and then there were stretches where he just wasn't that good out there, and he was going to be buried on the depth chart. So this notion that Tennessee's losing their leading tackler is just, it's just a narrative that's not accurate at all. And it kind of puts the portal in context when you see a guy from another program that was their leading tackler, and we get excited like, hey, man, Tennessee should go after that guy. Well, we don't really usually know the context either, and it can be twisted quite a bit nationally.
I mean, there is always some reason why these dudes are hitting the portal. And it could be purely money, which in some sense could be a red flag. It could be, you know, the some sort of disagreement with coaches or some, you know, the attitude problem or like any myriad of things. There's always a reason. And it makes that entire game. That's probably the most interesting piece of all of it, because it can be complete flop and it can be Dalton Connect. You know, it can be all over the board in terms of what you're getting. So,
Tennessee actually kind of was in that scenario. I just thought about it. You know, Juwan Mitchell came from Texas. That was the selling point on him, is he led Texas in tackles one season. And I feel like, and looking back now, and he had some good moments too, but he was hurt a lot, and there was some off the field stuff, we think, and there definitely was. He went to like Arizona State and Colorado, kind of pulled one of those moves. I think he made Deion Sanders mad out there. So, Tennessee has kind of been on that side of it too. So they've already seen that. Josh Heupel, maybe, you know, he was kind of introduced into this portal world, NIL world, and Tennessee, all that stuff after COVID was kind of happening at the same time. So maybe that was like an early lesson that Heupel learned, because he is not. They've got some guys from the portal, but they've been so careful in the way they've picked them. You know, you got Chris Brazel, who so far seems like perfect for Tennessee's culture. All that dude wants to do is just win football games. That's all he wants to do. You got to get a Lance Hurd, who seems like he's fitting in nicely. They're talking about how hard he's working. And you've got a few guys like that, but they haven't rushed out like the running back deal. You know, we've talked about Tennessee's running back depth, and it's not great. Cam Seldon might be out until September. He might miss the first game or two of the year. It's a significant injury. He's going to be back, but you got to lean on Khalifa Keith and Peyton Lewis and Deshaun Bishop, guys that do not have a lot of experience. It wouldn't be a shock if they went out there and got a running back, and they still could, but so far they haven't seemed to be super aggressive. You saw Dallin Hayden, son of Aaron Hayden, former Tennessee running back, going to Colorado from Ohio State. No interest there. Just nothing that really transpired there. Several of the other running backs looked like they were going to have some interest in Damian Martinez from Oregon State. It said they, you know, made contact, but thought he might visit, didn't. Running back from Louisville, same thing. So they haven't been super aggressive, and you just got to think that they kind of test the waters. Like, yeah, I don't think this guy's a fit, and then they just kind of shut it down there.
Yeah, it's tough to get a gauge on that situation, because I would think that you would want somebody else. Maybe they do believe in those depth guys, and they just feel like that would be unnecessary. I don't know, but I guess it just feels like, because the shoes you were filling were so good last year. I mean, it was such a dynamic duo, and you are losing both. Well, it was a dynamic duo and also Dylan Sampson, of course, and you know, he really added that final punch there. But I mean, you're losing two of the biggest pieces and only retaining one of the, you know, 33% of your three-headed monster there.
It kind of makes you wonder if they regret not kind of trying to get Jabari Small to stay for that last year of eligibility. That COVID, you know, because he wasn't as dynamic as Jalen Wright. He wasn't as dynamic as Dylan Sampson, but he was strong in pass protection. He still picked up chunk yardage. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He'd be a really nice player to have now when you kind of think about the state of the running back room.
It definitely would have been. We'll just have to see, because it's no real indications there one way or another. Like you said, there was kind of some indications with the Oregon State kid, nothing, and some other dudes, and it just, I don't know, nothing's come together there. It's kind of odd, because I definitely figured, once you heard that stuff about the Oregon State kid, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I almost, like, I heard that and I was like, oh, there's that's him. That's is going to be the guy that Tennessee gets, and absolutely nothing came of it. So, interesting situation. We'll obviously keep tabs on it and keep talking about it. Now, we obviously have to talk about the transfer situation with basketball. Two, you're losing a ton over there also, and there have been updates, and we will talk about them right after I tell you about the good folks at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans have been serving Tennesseans for over 75 years. Much has changed in Tennessee over the years, but some has stayed the same. Farm Bureau has always valued personal relationships, especially when it comes to good health and good service. Plan on Farm Bureau health plans for health, dental, and vision. For better coverage, better rates, and better service, go to fbhp.com/ATOZ or walk into one of their 200 plus locations across the state. That is fbhp.com/ATOZ. Farm Bureau health plans. Shout out to them. Go get yourself a health plan. Now with the basketball, of course, we know, and Ben's talking about it here in the comments. Jonas Adu heads out. Toby Awaka heads out. Rumors that Awaka might be considering coming back, but haven't seen any movement there, really. Not sure that's going to happen. But then you've heard rumors on other guys, and specifically a nugget that dropped today on a pickup Tennessee might make, and I would say I think they are going to, if I was a betting man, is Igor Milicic out of Charlotte. It sounds a dude whose name sounds like a center for the Portland Trailblazers in 1994 who would have punched you directly in the face if you tried to enter the paint. I love it. I want this guy to play basketball for Tennessee. He is 6'10", forward center, 12.8 points per game, almost 9 rebounds per game, 48.7% from the field. Of course, a lot of that's around the rim. But what do you think about this? You said John Rothstein was talking about today, right?
Yeah, he said the CBS Sports College Basketball Insider says Tennessee's the favorite to land Milicic. I think that'd be a great pickup. 6'10", he can do so many different things. He averaged over a block a game too, so he can get rebounds, he can block shots, the things that Rick Barnes is going to want somebody that's 6'10 to do. He can score too. I mean, only 13 points a game at Charlotte, but he's developed a shot. You know, he can shot close to 40% from 3-point range, I think 37-38%, so he can make those shots. That's huge to be a 6'10 guy in college, even in college basketball now, especially in the NBA. You got to be able to hit those shots. I mean, that's it's a requirement, which is wild because that's just not the way basketball was 25 years ago when I was growing up watching college basketball. But with Adu going out and Awaka probably not coming back, it looks like maybe that ship has sailed. Who knows? You never say never, and nothing would shock me. But it seems like Tennessee's just kind of moving forward with, like, we got to build our team for the next season, and we're not waiting around on Awaka. So it's kind of like a must get player. It looks like they will. I think they're battling Nebraska and Baylor. Surely you can beat Nebraska. Baylor, that's a little bit different one, but maybe since he's from Croatia, I believe you said. But maybe because he's playing at Charlotte, maybe the familiarity in the Southeast, he'll feel more comfortable at Tennessee and Knoxville in Texas. I don't know. We'll see. But for now, it seems to be trending towards Tennessee.
I hope it comes to fruition because, I mean, when you talk about a 6'10 dude who can drill a three, like, be still my heart. That's what Tennessee, Tennessee wasn't missing much this season. Nearly nothing. I mean, they obviously had an excellent team, made an Elite Eight, won the SEC title, all the stuff that we watched happen. I mean, they were right there. But ultimately, we talked about it after that Purdue game. You had Adu and you know, some of those other guys taking mid-range shots, and they just bricked them all, and they missed. And it's the way that can open up your offense to have a big man that they have to respect on the perimeter is awesome. I mean, obviously, that's kind of the way of the world in basketball now, if you're sort of forward-thinking and kind of in the, you know, more a fan of that modern basketball. So to speak, everybody on the floor can take a three. It's that Nate Oates ball. Everybody on the floor can take a three and make it. And it has obviously become so popular. And I would love to have a guy like that. What does concern me, if you get Milicic and Awaka doesn't come back, who do you have to be your enforcer in the paint and actually have body size to get rebounds per se? You make another Elite Eight and you have to play another Zach Edey type dude. Think God, Zach Edey will be gone. But if you have to play another guy like that, like, who is going to be that dude that can be a big body in the paint? You've seen that kid from Ohio State, Akpara, Felix Akpara, I think was his last name. not really prolific at Ohio State. Didn't put up a ton of points, but he is a big dude. I think close to 7 feet and a little more of an imposing figure there. Maybe that's your guy. If they can lock him down, I think, is he supposed to visit? I want to say, I don't know, exactly what the latest update is there, but,
it's like Kyle in the comments says that, he visited today. So,
oh, he visited. Oh, hey, there's our recruiting insider, Kyle in the comments.
That would be big to get a guy like that. Those are those pickups that don't move the needle a ton, but man, really good teams that win championships have those types of dudes. And Rick Barnes is kind of, everybody's supposed to be that dude. Everybody's playing defense like that, but it's tough to sacrifice offense, especially with the way the game's played today. Like you said, you gotta be able to hit those jump shots because it just kind of spreads everything out, creates space, but still having a guy that can defend some of those big guys, obviously that was a big issue for Tennessee this past season. You see the way the sport's changed so rapidly over the last few years, and you've seen so many coaches jump out like the Roy Williams and Coach K and Jay Wright. And Barnes really seems energized and excited and has embraced the portal. He probably doesn't love the state of college basketball. I don't think anybody loves the state of college sports as far as all the movement and everything that goes along with that. But he's like, this is the way it is. This is what we're going to do. And he's kind of jumped into that. He's not trying to hold on to the past or hold on to guys. Like, we're going to go forward year by year. And with that, the style of play, I think, is evolving a little bit. Like, he's still Rick Barnes. He's still going to do what Rick Barnes does, but he seems more open to they're going to get the big man that can knock down shots and some of those types of players. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he's got a little more left in the tank than we think he does.
I hope so. And that, I think that would be a solid pickup. It would definitely be one that's kind of like, could be a flop, could be good pickup. You're not totally sure exactly which direction that would go. Just because of sort of the lack of production there. You're just honestly not entirely sure what you're getting. But the last one, at least, that I saw floating around was the kid from Belmont, Cade Tyson. I think a lot of, just because he's at Belmont and Nashville, a lot of people were hoping, hey, maybe you can come down to Tennessee. Really prolific shooter. Sort of has, maybe you could capture a little bit of that connect magic again, sort of feel to it. I'm not sure exactly where that falls. Have you seen anything on him, Zach?
Not really, to be honest. It's been so much going on the past
couple
of days. Yeah.
Yep.
Especially with Tennessee sports. It's amazing that it is April 23rd and it's basketball is a full go pretty much right now, even though they're not playing games. Right. Football is a full go, even though spring practice is over. Baseball, softball, it's a fun time. That's why I said earlier, it's a fun time of year.
For the content creators among us, which you are a machine, as far as that goes, Zach, the transfer portal is an absolute goldmine. I mean, you have companies that have essentially created an entire cottage industry based around all they got to do is just talk about who's going in, who's going out, and that's, they're running companies based off that. So, it's, you know, obviously there's always going to be a ton of talk about it. Here's Kyle dropping in our recruiting insider. He says more of a Carolina lean for Tyson.
I think RJ Davis just said he was coming back for another season at UNC today, and I did not know he had another year of eligibility left. He's been there for what, 6 years, it seems like. I don't know. I was surprised that he had any eligibility left. Though if he does, he's a 6 foot guard. He might as well, because he's not, I don't think, as good as he was, he's not destined for the NBA at that size. He's not Chris Paul at 6 foot. He's a good player, but I don't think he's a NBA starter.
Here's what we can do. That Cade Tyson can commit there, then RJ Davis goes into the transfer portal and comes to Tennessee.
By all means.
That's all I ask is just, you know, a guy who was up for the Naismith Award this past year transferred to Tennessee. No biggie. But otherwise, that's essentially it. We're just going to have to keep tabs on it. I was really, really hoping that one of those would actually drop before we did the show, especially since we're doing it a day late from when we normally do.
Yeah, it'll be 8:15 Eastern.
Yeah, but nothing that exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen. Then we'll be a full week behind. I think we spent all of our equity in the last couple of years with the commits that were happening directly in the middle of the show. We had a real streak going for a while.
Nico, that was a lot of equity spent there.
We really with the recruiting timing gods there, we spent a lot with Nico committing in the middle of our show and having that golden clip forever live on. Maybe one day we'll get another one. So with that said, that's bulk that. Anything else basketball, football, Zach, before we finish up a little baseball?
Yeah, I think it's about baseball, Tom.
It really is. And the baseball team, of course, once again, having an awesome season so far. Only 7 losses on the year. They are the number 3 team in America as we speak, according to most services. Of course, because it's the SEC, the 2 teams in front of them are also from the SEC. Go figure. But this team so far this year, again, I think this is the first segment that we've actually done on the baseball team. The offense is inevitable with this team. It's so incredible. They have broken all of these records. They have already, just this far into the season, I mean, there's a lot of season left. They broke the single season Grand Slam record for Tennessee baseball.
They literally just hit a home run in the middle of your sentence.
Really?
Cabarrus Tears.
There you go. Case in point, they're playing some no-name team tonight.
Western Carolina. It was 4-4 about 5 minutes ago, and now it's 9-4 Tennessee.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's really this team in a nutshell. This offense, absolutely inevitable. I believe at this point, between Christian Moore and Blake Burke, the 2 home run leaders of all time at Tennessee, now playing on the same team together and in many games batting back to back, just an unbelievable lineup offensively.
And then Billy Amage on top of that.
Billy has
a home run earlier tonight.
Yep. So, I mean, it's relentless offense. With that said, the pitching is not entirely A+. Specifically because of injuries. I mean, some of your best dudes injured for long periods of time, still injured. And you're just kind of, I don't want to say it's a ragtag group because the guys have held up admirably that have stepped in there, but it's not, you're not working with all your aces all the time. I don't know. This team, the offense, it just feels insane. And it's one of these tough things that feels very Tennessee to say. It's one of these things where you go, man, if we could have just had this offense with that pitching last year, maybe Chase Burns comes back, something like that. And you just go, why can you not just put 2 and 2 together here? And maybe they can by the end of the year and it'll be there. But what do you think so far in the season, Zach?
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun. It's been the opposite of last season, where it got off to such a slow start and we were wondering when it was going to happen. Of course, it finally did. But now you're like, okay, this team has what it takes to get to Omaha, to make a run. Does the pitching hold up? I think that's, like you said, that's the biggest thing. You know, Drew Beam in a huge game the other night didn't have his best stuff, gutted it out as long as he could. You know, he gets saved in relief there, but those are performances where you know come May and June you have to step up and be like the number one guy. It really feels like if Chase Burns would have stuck around, this team would have, I feel like they would be the favorites almost, because you would have that kind of shutdown guy. I mean, he's pitched really well at Wake Forest, and it does seem like he made the wrong decision, just clearly whatever was going on, he got fixed when he moved to the bullpen. He goes to Wake Forest, a program where I never really understood the preseason hype, because they lost so much from their team last season. Hitters, they lost a decent amount of pitching as well. If Burns would have stuck around at Tennessee, I mean, it feels like, man, they would be set right now. You'd be in the driver's lane the team to beat. You would be like LSU last season with Paul Skeens. I don't know if Burns is Paul Skeens. That's nobody's Paul Skeens. That dude, unreal what he did and the run he's on even now, making AAA guys look silly. But it would kind of have that feel to it for me. So, but you know, he's not. He's moved on. He's awake. That is what it is. You just got to kind of hope the pitching steps up here in May and June.
I feel this from Jacob. He says, get healthy for Omaha. See what happens. That's going to be my feeling for the rest of the year until you can get as healthy as you possibly can be. Obviously, pray for no injuries to anybody else, and keep it that way. But I mean, you're doing all this without AJ Russell. Like, yeah, that's crazy. And I mean, you had probably the game of the season so far against Kentucky on Sunday.
Wild, just a wild game.
Yeah, 13-11, just knockdown, drag out, insane offense from both teams, and it.
Christian Moore probably floated back to Knoxville after that.
Oh man, I like the funniest thing from all that was that for some unknown reason, I guess probably because the SEC didn't think that Kentucky would be good this year, and so that entire series was set to just be on SEC Plus. Well, it was the number three team versus the number four team in America. In what other major sport is that not going to be televised? It was on streaming services. But regardless, because it was on streaming services, the announcers were just Kentucky guys. I don't know who they were, but they were clearly fans of Kentucky. And that clip with Christian Moore hitting the third home run is one of the funniest sound bites in the history of Tennessee sports, because it again, the offense is inevitable. It was his third home run of the day. And he hits that and the guy just goes, oh no. Oh no. And I think they goes, oh no. And the other guy goes, yep.
Yeah.
It's so good. It really is crazy. And I think hopefully that offense carries you through the gauntlet of the SEC right now is just absolutely insane. Arkansas, Texas A&M is the number one team. Obviously, Vandy is still good like they usually are. Everybody in the SEC, you already played Alabama, who I think is in the top 25. I mean, just go down the entire list. It really is insane, and it's going to be a murderer's row until you get into the NCAA tournament. You might even face some of them then, have in past years. I mean, it just is. Well, I mean, it's great. I guess you're going to be battle tested.
Yeah.
But you kind of wish it maybe wouldn't be that tough. If it would be okay if the SEC wasn't that good, where like literally every SEC team is in the top 25 and like five of them are in the top 10.
I mean, that's where all the best high school players in the country want to go, is an SEC yeah. program. It's not the ACC. It's not the Big 12. It's the SEC. It really is.
We'll see what happens. But we wanted to talk about it obviously because it is the major sport that we're going to turn to now for the last several years. Now, Tony Vitello has given us that sweet, sweet content going all the way into like July. God bless him for that. Giving us a ton to talk about. And it's great. You had a classic moment in this Kentucky series too. Kind of harkening back to 2022 where Christian Moore, after that third home run, he said something. I don't totally know. Rounding the bases, and they considered throwing him out of the game because Kentucky cried their little eyes, and they went, well, he said he was mean to me, and he said something, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't throw him out, thank God. And then Vitello made some snarky comments after. It was nice. That was great to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's college baseball. It's supposed to be intense. That's really baseball all the way till you get to, like, the minor leagues, and it kind of changes a bit in the pro game. College is just an extension of high school and travel ball, where there's always going to be chirping. Everybody hates everybody on the other side, no matter if you're friends with them or grew up with them or what. The intensity that baseball brings out, it's fun. It's what makes it fun. I'm glad Tony Vitello kind of threw a little shade at the Kentucky dugout.
They called them cheerleaders or
no
whatever.
No disrespect to cheerleaders.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He added, like, quickly. It's just Vitello... I know we love Tony Vitello for what he's done on the field, but as a personality, like, there is not a more Tennessee guy than him. And it goes back to that whole deal about wanting a Tennessee guy to come run your program. Like, go get the right guy and they will become a Tennessee guy. That's what Tony Vitello is. He went to Missouri. He's about to go try to sweep them this weekend. But when his interviews, you never know what he's going to say. And it's like he's saying it, and he doesn't really know what's coming next. It's fun. It's real fun.
I mean, he will be, by the end of his career, he'll be one of just the great characters that Tennessee has. He already is.
Yeah.
Ultimately, just with everything that's happened, and, you know, especially from 2022 and all the loaded bats and all of that.
And the umpire. And that's one of my favorite scenes from a game ever.
It's so many great moments. You can just add this one to the list. Alicia in the comments says, GBO. Alicia, GBO. Ben says Vandy won't have half their pitching staff if they keep getting ejected. Didn't they have did somebody for Vandy get hit for cheating or something?
Did they?
I see that?
I'm not sure.
I'm not totally sure. Maybe somebody in the comments.
That would be some fun irony there after the bat deal 2 years ago.
In some tweet I saw, I think it was a Vandy fan, and they were saying, Tennessee has loaded bats. This is absolutely crazy. There's no way that they're hitting like this. And then a lot of the comments were from Tennessee fans saying, you literally just had a player get ejected from a game for cheating. Here's Ben. He says, their starting pitcher got ejected in game 3 for a foreign substance on his arm. There you go. Who's cheating now, Vandy? Huh? Freaking elitist losers.
The bat thing's so ridiculous. What loaded how? Like, what do they think they're doing to these bats? I don't.
Corking the aluminum bat.
Yeah, I don't get it.
The bats get tested, and we learned that entire thing. They have stickers on them and all that crap. Oh, yeah. Oh man, yeah, you learned it all.
You're hardly getting through youth baseball games with a sketchy bat at this point. You can hear it. You can tell. It's not a thing. It's just what people like to say when team gets hot.
I mean, well, and now that Tennessee really has kind of a Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa situation on their hands with Simo and Blake Burke. I mean, you check those bats. You got to make sure that it doesn't, you know, Blake Burke doesn't end up like Sammy Sosa, and we find the cork, you know, big internal scandal at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be a fun year for baseball. Can't wait to see how it ends up happening. I mean, I don't want to say that I'm supremely confident, but at this point with what Vitello's done, I mean, it's Omaha or bust. And that just yet again, that's where we're at. So,
and once you get to Omaha, whatever happens, happens. I mean, one bad pitching night can throw everything for a loop and, you know, doesn't really give the team a chance, or one night where the bats go cold and your pitching's good can ruin it too. I mean, that's baseball in a nutshell. There's not much you can do to defend against one of those nights happening. You just got to kind of put the work in, hope that it doesn't happen, and hope you're the last team standing.
Definitely. We'll talk about it all. I'm Charlie Burris. That's Zach Reagan, and that's the show. Thanks to everybody for watching, hanging out. Our new recruiting insider, Kyle, in the comments.
We appreciate it.
But everybody else too. Ben, Alicia, Jacob, volunteer. Thanks to everybody for watching. Caleb, we appreciate it all. You guys are the best. We couldn't do the show without you. Seriously, I mean it every single time. You know, find us all over, but AtoZSports.com, Facebook, YouTube, yada, yada, yada. You know where to find us. We appreciate it. That's it for this week, and we will talk to y'all next week.
See you guys later.